You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Hey.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Testing.
Testies.
Testies.
1, 2, 3. I don't know shit about fuck.
Bullshit.
I like sucking. Fuck off.
Legit.
I like China.
Bullshit.
Welcome to Costco. I love you.
Have you seen my wiener?
Hello, welcome to Legit Bat. I'm so glad we made it right on time, 6 o'clock. I just got home from work. Luckily, Jen set everything up for me. Hopefully, everything is working and y'all can hear us, but I think it's fine. Ben's joining us tonight. What's up, dude?
What's up?
Are you tired?
No, actually, I'm not too bad.
Oh, good. I'm not too bad either. Anyway, I'm Joe. This is Jen. Hey. And as you heard, Ben. We got Steve from Slow News Day on today, and go check his show out. I'm sure everyone will love it. It's a kind of like news commentary, but super funny, and he has a good time over there. We'll bring him in. Steve, what's up, brother?
How's it going, man? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we'll just start this off. We just normally, talk shit for an hour, hour and a half, whatever you want. But there's plenty to talk about in the news. But why don't you just give us a quick, bio of your show and you and your plugs right off the bat here.
Yeah, so we do a show. We're doing 6 days a week right now. It's insane. But Monday through Friday in the morning, I have it's like half apocalypse prep and half dick jokes.
Nice.
With my friend Pasta Jardula, we have a handful of different comedians on rotation that come in. we have nuanced conversations about complex and sometimes controversial topics with nuance, like grown-ups without screaming at each other. It's weird. And then, yeah, I mean, typically we've been, helping people get their news like 3 to 6 months to 2 years early. So it's, kind of cool.
People in this community have been doing that. It's 6 to 12 months or so.
Yeah. Yeah. On Sundays we have a extended interview show for about 2 hours where we have people on that are smarter than us and ask them questions.
Sweet. Almost everyone we have on is smarter than us, so I get it. But you're also in Alt Media United, and you've been on the Union of the Unwanted quite a few times too, right?
Yeah. I know Mark through that. And really, one of the reasons that I have a show still and it all after the first couple of months is because of Sam Tripoli. So when they started doing the Union of the Unwanted and they started expanding the panels and stuff like that, I got asked on, and I've been regular there for a little over a year now, and that show is just awesome. It should be people talking over each other. It's a bunch of monsters, it's a bunch of murderers, all on the same panel with regularly high profile guests.
Yeah.
It works like a charm. It's an incredible experience.
I know. I think the first time we got invited there was probably a little over a year ago too, and or a year exactly. But I was a little intimidated to go on there because we hadn't had our show very long, and I'm like, these are all like way big people, and we're just playing fart noises over here, so this is going to be weird.
So we didn't talk at all. We didn't say one word the whole time. And Sam Tripoli looked at us like there's like 20 squares, and he like points at us and then direct messages us and was like, hey, do you guys want to talk? He was so sweet. It was super nice. Like, he recognized that we were just sitting patiently just listening.
Well, it was funny because I was used to listening to that show, not, I can talk too. So it was weird to listen to it and then be like, oh, I can say stuff.
Yeah. yet.
But we were on a cryptid show, and cryptids aren't really our huge thing, so I didn't have much to say anyway. But we haven't been able to make it lately because it's 4 o'clock on
early.
Pacific time does not work with my work schedule very often.
Yeah, I was fortunate when I started being able to do the pen. Fortunate. I mean, it's why I'm doing the show full time now, but I was a carpenter for a very long time. The guy that I was working with screwed up his knee, and he was 62, and he was like almost lost part of his leg and was like, well, I'm not going to do this anymore. And that was around this time last year. In about April, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and try and take the show full time. And so we've done that. And yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah, you do 6 days a week. That's insane. I do our show about twice a week, but then we're always on somebody else's show like other days of the week. And that's a lot. But I mean, I work all day, so it's a rush to get home and like try to do this. But we have it dialed down pretty good now where we can set up in 5 minutes and be boom.
There was the month of September and October of last year. Yeah. It's all kind of blending together. But I was covering in real time in the morning the trial of Julian Assange, the witness hearing. It was like a month long. And because of the time difference, I was rolling out of bed and starting coffee at about 1:30 in the morning. California time, because it was 10 o'clock in the morning in the UK. And so I would do like 6 hours of live stream court coverage. And then I would go to work as a carpenter for 8 hours. And then I would come home and I would do like somebody's recap stream or somebody's show talking about what I had talked about for 6 hours of the morning before I got to work. And then I would get to like grab a little bit of food and like maybe hop in the shower.
Maybe
say hi to my kids for 10 minutes and then fucking pass out. Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy that most of us in this community do this as much as we do and have jobs. That's when, you know, you have a good time doing it, because if ever, this thing's probably not going to support me full time. Like, it doesn't even partly support us. So I can't even imagine the level we'd have to get to have this be my job. It'd be cool, but yeah, it's a hobby.
Expensive. Yeah, no, it's three full-time jobs doing it full-time, because it's you doing all of the production and curating for the content, you delivering the content, and then you doing all of the promoting and the advertising and going on other people's shows to do that as well. Like, it really, in order to make it work at all, and really you should have 4 full-time jobs if you're going to make it work. Because yeah, you should have at least like a side hustle of some sort of merch thing, some secondary, or, you know, two or three, or if you're Sam Tripoli, 85 podcasts. I need a podcast in every genre, 3 of them. And if they're not in the top 50 each, then fuck, I'm going to go out and stomp somebody. Take their show. Just go do their show in front of their audience better.
Hey, he's a fucking entrepreneur. To have that much shit going on and him constantly grinding, not to mention tour dates for comedy and writing comedy. That's a full-time job as it is, writing comedy and touring. I mean, I don't understand how he has time in the day to do all that.
Former meth addicts retain a lot of that energy, I think. I don't know.
I've known a few.
I didn't really get into that, but I know people who did. And if they're wired that way, they kind of tend to stay that way after the fact. Like, very, very, you know, understand the motivation, understand the grind. We'll get out there and do it 20 hours a day if that's what needs to be done.
And then they figure out, oh, I never even needed drugs.
Exactly why.
I do this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot less painful if I exercise instead of get high.
Yeah. Are you freezing up there, Ben? You look a little twitchy.
No, I was going to talk, but I'm guessing that there was a major lag or something.
Yeah, go for it.
Oh, no, I was going to say that is exactly why I would never do meth, because as it is, I'm already fairly tweaky, sober. And if I did that, I'm pretty sure that would be devastating for the rest of my life.
I don't know. Maybe it'd be like Ritalin for you, or you'd actually fucking calm down and focus, you know,
balance it out a bit.
That's what I have the Christian crack for. Coffee settles me down. ADHD at its finest.
So what have you been going over, Steve, lately on your show? I mean, I'm sure since it's current events, you've probably talked ad nauseum about the Ukraine issue. And honestly, I listened to so much of that shit today. I'm just kind of burned out on it. But if you got any of your own insights on what's going on over there, we can only speculate mostly because we don't trust mainstream media. And then you see other stuff. The one thing I will say is I mentioned this on our Telegram channel. Shout out. Come join. Is my sister lives over there and she's lived over there for about 10 years. And she's kind of actually corroborating some of what mainstream media is saying, where they're hearing explosions, they're seeing explosions. They live about 20 miles out of Kiev in a little town out there, and they're hearing it, they're seeing it. They had to pick up some friends from an airport, and I guess the airports are kind of getting shelled. And they're right now, as of today, this morning, she was texting me saying that they had gone downstairs in their basement and kind of like waited it out for a bit because they didn't know what the fuck was happening. So that's all I know. I'm not over there. I don't fucking know. I know there's a lot of lies and a lot of, misdirection. And that's the only thing I keep coming back to, is that it's some kind of a distraction for something else. And who fucking knows what that is? Usually you find out after the fact. But what do you think about all that stuff?
We've been experiencing an international energy squeeze for the last 8 months, 10 months, yeah. 8 months. And before that, before the Rona hit, we were on the brink internationally of financial collapse again. In 2020 alone, Donald Trump printed $20 trillion. Like, during the 4 years that Trump was president, he printed 2/3 of all money that the U.S. has ever put into circulation.
Yeah,
that is untenable. You don't get to ride that out. You don't. We have 40-year high inflation. Last year, wages, they said that wages went up, but inflation went up to the point to where money was worth half a point less on the dollar than it was the previous year. You know, so all of the lockdowns, all of the the introduction of the tele-education and telehealth and all of that, the looming central bank backed digital currency attached to your social credit score, that's what's waiting in the wings is the payoff for this. The Nord Stream gas pipeline that Germany just rejected, that was going to give Putin the Nord 2, that was going to give Putin and Russia control of 80% of Europe's natural gas, was a bridge too far. They've used Ukraine joining NATO as a provocation against Russia for years and years and years and years. Everybody has to remember that these guys all shake hands and hug and kiss in Davos. It's always and only the poor people in every single country that bear the brunt of this, us included, because I just had to pay $5.20 a gallon in gas to come down here.
Yep. Feeling that,
you know, and that's not Russia or Ukraine's fault, but it's going to get worse.
It's going to get blamed on them for sure. That
it
was one
is. CBS put out a tweet that got ratioed to hell and gone, trying to blame last year's inflation on yesterday's provocation.
Trying to blame a year's worth of shit on one day that Putin did. What do you think Putin's angle is on this? Because he seemed to, according to what he was saying and how he was defending those independent areas, oblasts, whatever they call them, he seems to be doing exactly what he said, which is more than most politicians can say.
Well, the two breakaway republics, Luhansk and the Donetsk, specifically the Donbass region, are financial drains on the Ukraine. They're like no strategic importance whatsoever. There's no major points of industry there. The Donbass specifically is like a retirement village. The average age in there is like 58. old people. Most of them don't work. That's who's been getting shelled every day for 8 years. It's like a fucking retirement village. because they're not going to fight back. Nobody's going to fight back. So these are people who identify ethnically as Russian, who are a financial drain on the Ukrainian economy. But because nationalism and posturing and global chess, Ukraine has to pretend like they want these republics that declared independence 8 years ago during the U.S. orchestrated overthrow of the Ukrainian government to install neo-Nazi puppets in there so that we could get NATO expansion up against the border of Russia. And now all of that's kind of coming to a head. It's messy.
Yeah, and it's there's never any one answer on any of this either. We're just left to kind of pick up the pieces, the bits and pieces of information that we see trickling down every, you know, avenue that we get, and then making up our own mind about it, which is, I guess, what people should do. But everybody's fighting, and I heard so many people today just splitting hairs over like the pipeline and the all these little things to do with Ukraine and Russia, when I don't think it's has any, not anything, but it's not near as much to do with that as the worldwide thing, like you were talking about with Davos. This goes way farther than just Ukraine and Russia or us even. I smell a Klaus Schwab in there somewhere.
Well, if you can put a strain on the nation state that's supplying ostensibly 80% of the resources to one country to one region to fuel itself, then you open up conditions to corner that specific market with your people. There's a, I don't know, multinational hostile takeover going on right now for control of the energy supply for Europe, because that did belong to Russia. And it was about to double. So as this is happening, the U.S. State Department and the U.S. Defense Department sent people down to the kingdom to talk to the Saudis about them opening up a little bit more of their crude, because there's going to be an energy crisis. Remember also that the whole reason we started bombing Syria back in 2014 was over a pipeline that was going to cut through either Syria or go under Iran and through Israel. All for resources that all of these people, all of these world leaders, we're having all of these global conflicts over pipelines right now and energy right now, natural gas specifically or crude oil. But all of these leaders are telling you climate change is the most important thing that we're not talking about. And if we don't do something about global climate, if you don't start sacrificing, if you filthy, dirty individual human, the cause of all these problems, don't start sacrificing and coughing up a little bit more of that money, golly, the planet's going to be in a pickle.
Yeah. Well, and that whole energy crisis, as they call it, feeds directly into the Great Reset. And even the trucker thing in Ottawa was, everybody's like, wait a minute, no, they're on strike. The supply line's getting fucked up. This is perfect for them. It's almost like they set this up, because now they can roll out the... No, I'm not going that far. I'm talking about what other people are saying. But because of the electronic vehicles and self-driving trucks, and who fucking knows? Like I said, we're just left to pick up the pieces.
If it was... Okay, I'll tell you what. When the Canadian Truckers Union goes, we're all in on this strike, and we never talk to anyone in our community about mutual aid and stored food and parallel structures and feeding each other while there's an extended strike, then you know it's a setup. When it's 15 to 20% of the workforce that is going, fuck no, Absolutely, there's going to be agent provocateurs in that. Absolutely. There are going to be people who want to capitalize on that for personal political gain. There's going to be people who are going to weaponize it politically. There's going to be people who paint it however they need to paint it to fit into their own personal ideological brand or whatever it is they're using to push out their own thing. But if you go on the ground, as for people listening, I'm not talking to you specific. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, yeah, you know, but if you go on the ground and you talk to people, or if you watch like Viva Fry's on the ground videos, man, you know, those are regular folks who, when faced with, you know, negative 30 degrees in Ottawa in a protest, got together as, you know, an autonomous voluntary community who was engaged in civil disobedience, and they fed each other and they kept each other warm. And they got rid of the poo, and they found something to do with the animals, and they found something to do with the kids. And that's beautiful. And that's what we need to happen to break centralized power structures everywhere.
Yeah. Now, I thought it was fucking awesome. I saw videos from people on the ground over there. They're like barbecuing, singing, having a great old time. Then you flip on CNN, which I don't do. I've just seen videos, and it basically looks like a BLM riot, but they're just taking videos of where they want and not taking videos of the good parts. It's just so easy to manipulate. But then this led into Australia doing the same thing. And then there's that trucker convoy. It's supposed to be going from, I think, California to DC.
Left
I can't
Bartow
wait to see how that
a couple of days out. Ago. Yeah.
Oh, they did leave. Okay.
There's a freedom camp in New Zealand that people aren't really talking about. But in Wellington,
oh, really?
They're camped out at the state capitol, Occupy style. Have
I
been
haven't
for
heard
a couple
that.
Of weeks. Yeah, look up look up Freedom Camp New Zealand.
Yeah, you're not going to hear about that on Fox.
No.
I heard Russians are actually protesting this invasion of Ukraine as well.
So, okay, man, here's what we said on the show this morning, because I am 100% anti-intervention, anti-war, flat the fuck out. Anytime somebody's using a monopoly of force, it always disproportionately affects people who don't want the conflict and have nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
So when I see video of, and I don't have exact confirmation, so I'm going to be really careful here. When I see video of what appears to be missile strikes on civilian targets, that's a fucking war crime. And you don't need to do that to make your point. You know, I'm going to shout down war crimes wherever I see them, regardless of the reason. And I am certain, historically, that at least in this case, from what I've seen so far, mostly Putin has every right in the world to do what they've done. And he's trolled the fuck out of the U.S. He's like, no, we're not invading. We're sending a peacekeeping force to these particular breakaway regions that asked for our help, you know, just like you guys did with Kosovo in 1999 in Yugoslavia. Just like that. Identical to that. It's wild. And then he's like, well, I'll show you what we could do if you don't lay off the NATO expansion. We can march to Kiev in a day. In a day. We can. We could disable your computer networks if we want to. We could shut down your entire mode of transportation if we want to. You take away your airports. We could take your capital city. We could take your ports. Or you could just let these two countries do whatever the fuck they want to do and know that we're going to protect them, and you don't get to put bases or bio labs at our border.
Yeah. So do you think that plays more into the more about NATO than anything else? Because Russia isn't in NATO and they're pretty fucking anti-NATO.
The whole reason NATO was formed was to keep the growing specter of communism in the Soviet Union away from the virgin shores of Jesus's favorite Western European republics. That's why NATO exists. And if anyone should raise a red flag or a red specter anywhere in the world, NATO is there to stomp out that particular commie menace. The Russian Federation is gangster as fuck. They are capitalist as anyone else on the planet. They have IMF partnerships. They have World Bank partnerships. They have partnerships with the World Economic Forum and Bloomberg and China's eight immortal families and everybody else. And everybody else, because they're gangsters. They don't care who they're doing business with. They care that the money spends. You know?
Yeah, it's like and a that, huge organized crime.
Like, more so than, I mean, Russia didn't, they didn't even bother trying to dress it up. They're like, no, fuck it, tracksuit in Duma. We make decision today. You know? And whatever, dude. Like, it's not my country. I don't have any right to tell them how to do what they do. You know? But the idea that you need NATO at all.
Yeah.
Especially when the pretext for it is the Soviet Union, which hasn't existed in almost 35 years now.
Maybe well, isn't like every that. Isn't every NATO country, isn't the head of NATO in that country a U.S. general too, or most of them at least? I mean, that's kind of weird. So it makes it look like NATO is just a U.S. puppet, and we're like basically in charge of these countries that have NATO in them.
Yeah, and we can command groups of force to spread around the genocide and keep the human trafficking going and keep everything, keep the arms deals going and keep all of the terrorism going. And it's just perpetuating a military-industrial complex that we're now outsourcing and privatizing and automating. Did you guys see this? The Black Hawk helicopter that's a drone now?
Oh, fuck. That's scary as shit.
They got it to fly for a half an hour. They got it to do an actual mission. Take off, go X amount of miles, come back over the course of 30 minutes, full flight, weapons deployed. And they're hoping that by this time next year, one guy will be able to control an entire attack squadron of autonomous helicopters.
Fuck. Here we go. End times. Yeah. Well, what do you think that, how do you think that goes into the whole, I mean, everybody, fucking Klaus Schwab was talking about it last year about the impending cyber pandemic, and they're going to blame it on Russia no matter what it is. But I think if they, if there's a cyber attack in the next, I don't know, week or two, month or two, I guarantee you it's going to be an administration in the U.S. that's going to blame Russia for it, because they seem to want to just blame everything on Russia. No, not China, just Russia.
And that's a fair point. It is. And I know for a fact that China works just as hard as we do to hack them. It works just as hard to hack us every day as we do them.
Oh, yeah.
They've got, you know, the fucking entire warehouses set up just to try to do it. But we had a trial run with Colonial Pipeline last year. The place in North Carolina that was due to release a report because they had been found basically guilty of largest or second largest gasoline spill in U.S. history. And they were supposed to come up with a report of like how much damage they'd actually done, how much gas actually spilled. And all of a sudden they got hacked, and then the entire Eastern Seaboard went apeshit for a couple of days. People remember the pictures of people with like plastic bags full of gasoline?
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it turns out they blamed Russia. They blamed a group called Darkside that nobody ever found any actual Russians for, but all of a sudden the FBI had all the keys to the crypto for.
Yeah.
And then it turned out that the pipeline itself didn't even need to shut down. The only reason that they made everybody not get gasoline was for a week was because they didn't want their payroll to get messed with. And they want to have to pay people for hours that they weren't working because the pipeline was shut down. So they just, yeah, the security protocol was fine. They just had to, it took X amount of time. They didn't want to mess with the payroll.
Wow.
Yeah. And this is something that like the left was nowhere to be found on, and all of the environmental people and all of the people that scream, you know, anytime you get a oil slicked seagull or something like that, there's a flock of celebrities to go take photo ops. There's over a million gallons of gasoline in a wildlife preserve in North Carolina, but because it's a red county and because it was a couple of kids who were like on dirt bikes and shit who sniffed gas and found it and saw it, and it wasn't a good, you know, there's no oil slicked wildlife to pose with,
then it's fine.
Nothing.
There's no Instagram photo op. Nothing happened here. Move along.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like that whole environmental scene is just for popularity.
Oh, yeah. Almost. The EPA, yeah.
Book deals.
Yeah. Almost. Sure. Yeah. Almost.
I know there's people that give a fuck. I know there are, dude. And they all get really jaded after about 6 months.
Well, the ones that actually give a fuck are doing things every day in their own community, in their own house to be, you know, environmentally conscious. They're not, and a lot of them, granted, do like to post pictures about it, but the real ones that actually give a shit are doing something every day in their area. They're not trying to go find an oil slick seagull to go help and be on the news about. They're just helping out things around their house, or like Jen does with her plants and everything. Like not, the ones that actually care are
not doing taking stuff. A private jet to Paris to go hold an international protest with a bunch of other celebrities that took private jets so you can whine right. about the climate and all the environmental damage done by all those private planes would probably cover
or,
every vehicle on the planet for the year for that or, one trip.
Or a specific one from New York that was trying to get rid of farting cows because that was what was killing the ozone. Then goes and buys a $180,000 Tesla, for which the batteries alone have done more damage to the planet in their manufacturing than any gas car in a 200,000-mile lifespan.
Dude, don't even get me started on electric vehicles. Jesus Christ.
That's the thing. It's just like solar. I worked in the solar industry for 5.5 years, and it was one of three people. So somebody would come in just interested, not knowing anything about it. The other person would go in because they wanted to save money. And the third person would come in because they wanted to go green. And we dismantled the fuck out of that every time, more or less for our enjoyment, but also to set them straight. Because we'd have to tell them, well, aren't these things going to be getting clean energy from the sun? And aren't they warranted for 20 years? And it's like, yes. They're actually rated for at least 80% output for 20 years. But when you're talking about going green, let's take out the idea of putting batteries in the solar system. And let's say you're going to stay connected to whatever it is that you currently get power from. And you're just trying to turn that meter backwards to save money and go green. The amount of panels necessary to do that on a house, much less going off grid and getting batteries. The panels alone, the mining process for the crystals that go into solar panels, do so much damage that even over that 20-year lifespan, it will never bounce back the amount of good that you're saving by using them than it did to manufacture those panels. And everybody acts like whether it be Tesla, electric cars, going for solar, that they're saving the planet. And it's like, no, you are destroying it more than natural gas by a long shot.
Nobody says that. They just make they guilt you in commercials and in the media into thinking that solar is the way to go, an electric vehicle, because you don't have one.
Yep.
Oh my gosh, you have a gas guzzler? You're awful. It's all about guilt and shame so
absolutely.
That we feel compelled to buy these things that we don't need because your neighbor absolutely. Has one and you got to keep up with everybody.
Yeah, and look at this picture. This is lithium mine. You know what they use lithium for? Electric vehicles. Look at this shit. There's tons of pictures of it. I mean, just, but this is all over the place. And I mean, probably in third world countries that have.
Look at that, man.
It's fucking
bad.
Some of them are even worse. Like there's some pretty crazy ones, but yeah, I just, the whole electric vehicle thing is just ridiculous. And you see people virtue signaling out there with their little Priuses and save the earth and I'm a tree hugger, and I'm like, you clearly don't know what the fuck you're doing, so I'm not going to listen to you at all.
There's people that have been on diesel forever that arguably have been better environmentalists than the people who have had a hybrid or a you know, the electric car for 5 years.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And the disconnect. It's so intense. It's like people don't make the connection that you had, you know, advertising campaigns where doctors sold you cigarettes and people pushed milk and there was a whole like corn syrup thing. And these are the same people who understand these concepts or understand Monsanto, understand how corporate capture works, who haven't made the leap into why are Shell and British Petroleum the two largest manufacturers of solar panels, or why do all of the limited hangout CIA backed NGOs all support the Green New Deal, and why do they do, you know, like it's the same advertising in a lot of cases. It's even the same advertisers in most cases. The money never leaves the room. Sometimes people wheel a barrel full of money in and add to the pile. Sometimes people put some in their pockets in case they need some walking around money. But in most cases, the money doesn't even leave the room. We'll get to like sign a check and it, just sort of goes around.
It's all one big pot. They're all
patting each other's back. Yeah.
Oh, I like money.
So what do you think is going on with the whole COVID narrative, though, too? Because as it seems to be winding down, we have mandates dropping all over the place, even in fucking Massachusetts. There's mandates dropping. Like California apparently dropped their mask mandate for indoors, which affected me zero because I never wore one anyway. But it's cool to see everything kind of backing off. But at the same time, all this shit's backing off. Ukraine. So, I mean, we talked about it with the propaganda report the other day where this is, you know, midterm year. So obviously the them dams are going to want to try to like make themselves look better for the next 5 months until they get, I mean, they're going to get destroyed. Well, okay, I shouldn't say that after the last election, but you would hope they would get fucking destroyed in the midterms, but
oh no,
never can tell.
They're going to get fucking destroyed. So, okay. If you've noticed since Joe Rogan said ivermectin on his show last September, it allowed a lot of the more mainstream and like quasi independent channels to question the COVID narrative. Right. Almost immediately after that, you started seeing Peter McCullough show up on Laura Ingraham.
Yep.
Robert Malone show up on Laura Ingraham, and then Hannity, and then Tucker Carlson. And now Robert Malone is basically the co-host of The War Room with Steve Bannon, where every day he'll tell you a little information about COVID, and then he'll tell you a lot of things like, there's patriots working on the inside of the government on your behalf, and if you just vote for enough Republicans this year, you're going to get saved. And that's
the whole white hat thing.
The whole second half of the COVID thing, where you know who the bad guys are, you know it's the World Economic Forum, you know it's Fauci, you know it's Bill Gates, you know who the players are. They're not telling you because all of the people that are pointing these out, not all of the people, a significant number of the people in the more mainstream spaces that are pointing these out are all part of Peter Thiel's universe. Peter Thiel, whose business has all of your health information if you live in a Five Eyes country. He's got the U.S. health information. He's got Canada's. He's got the NHS's and Australia's and New Zealand's. The guy who owns Palantir. That guy has all of your health information. And he's funding the Dark Horse podcast, the Weinstein Brothers. He's funding, if not outright funding, building the spaces to popularize all of the thought that is pushing people into vote Republican or go so far into ANCAPistan that you no longer recognize community because you're off into the transhumanist spaces. And that's the second half of this, is everybody go to a very, very fundamentally more right-wing place, but off into transhumanism.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on transhumanism? We cover that quite a bit.
No, sure.
I love to get everybody's opinions on this.
I am not a fan of man and machine merging. There's a dogma attached to this that I want to learn a little bit more about. There's a spirituality to transhumanism that I feel like I have to learn a little bit more about, because I feel like we are in a spiritual conflict. Yeah, and I think that as physical as the assault on us has been, the psychic assault on us has been even more tremendous, which means the spiritual assault on everyone is exponentially greater than the physical and the psychic. So we've got to, find a way to communicate that allows for a little bit more cross-pollination in different spiritualities and faiths. Because I really do feel like a combination of like older death cults and the new soul harvesting cult that is transhumanism, at least from the way that I see it, from what I can tell, that's a lot to contend with, and you can't do that on an island. There has to be some sort of interfaith recognition that the spiritual war that we're fighting is a different one than the one that each individual faith has traditionally been taught.
Yeah. Well, and it goes into the grid system, the Internet of Things, all these things we've heard about for the last couple of years, and they need that grid. They need people piled on top of each other in the cities. It's so much easier to keep track of everyone when everything is tracked and it's in a contained area. They don't want these people that are out in the middle of nowhere, off grid, doing their thing, raising their cows. They don't want that at all. And that kind of, in my opinion, we live in California. The last couple of years have been the most insane fire seasons ever. And it's all in the people that are living off grid. And it's ridiculous. I don't even know what to say about that.
And from 2014 to 2016, the fire season was the exact proposed path of high speed rail. That was wild.
Interesting.
And I was living in Boulder Creek, and then Paradise and like Grass Valley and that whole area is basically like a lots of overlap, lots of families back and forth and stuff like that. So it was almost like having two fires for us. And we had to evacuate. I was on a live stream when I got my evacuation text. That was cute. I should probably bounce.
Why do I still have internet? I should probably get out of here.
Yeah.
T Hayes in the chat says, so fucked up how they can do these dehumanizing tactics and divisional tactics. Just talked about that the other day too. Almost as if the top predators are not human. So it kind of goes back to what you're saying about the spiritual thing. I don't think the people at the very top are human, and I don't think we will ever know their names or their faces or anything. People focus on the secret societies and all these groups and Davos and all this stuff, and yeah, that's the world front for these forces, but I don't think that's who's actually pulling those strings. I don't think Klaus Schwab is shit. We know his name, we know what he looks like, we know what he does, so I don't think he actually has any power. He's just another marionette played by who, whatever the fuck you want to call it, alien or demons, whatever. I just don't think it's actual humans running all this.
Well, I mean, the World Economic Forum is like a finishing school for oligarchs, right? Or functionaries for oligarchs, because the Young Global Leader program, those are administrators at best, you know.
Isn't Putin one of those too?
Huh?
Isn't Putin one of those? One of the Young Global
Leaders? Yeah, he's a Young Global Leader. Yeah, absolutely. They report to central bankers who report to the International Bank of Settlements, the central bank of central banks. And even those guys have people that are influencing them. So you're absolutely right. And I've been trying to tell people for years on the show now, when it comes to like government, your specific government or the U.S. government, those are positions of perceived power. Those people have influence wherever they can extend it based on that perception, but that's the government you get to see. The government that you get to see is fucking theater. And it doubles for the people that everyone has to think are the puppet master. Remember when everybody thought it was just the Rockefellers or the Rothschilds? Mm-hmm. And now it's just Klaus Schwab or just Bill Gates. And people are just being pushed to focus on specific individuals or a specific group. And then somebody like T. Snyder comes along and does a fantastic video about like Cecil Rhodes and Milner and the Council of 300 and all of that. And that gets shadow banned to shit. But it's important to remember that like all of these people that we know of that we see do have other people that they report to. And I've always felt like it's the job of independent media to make the people who don't want to be household names, household names.
Yeah. Well, like you said, hating someone in particular, like Gates or Fauci or all these people, is like seeing two ants in your house and being like, fuck those ants. And there's a whole nest of shit outside that you should probably go take care of that. Now, how do we get rid of the nest of ants that are ruling us or insect people or whatever? I don't know what you think about that. That's just my crazy brain. But like, what do you think is the answer to that then? You said spiritual war. So where do you go?
I don't think that people get to effectively participate in any sort of. Okay. A revolution just brings you right back to the same spot you started, right? Like there's no going forward with that. All of the people who are demanding revolution, I feel like don't really understand what they're talking about or they've been reading the wrong books. What I've always said that we need is an ascension, right? Like that's what a real uprising is, right? That's what a genuine uprising is. That's a spiritual ascension. I feel like there's got to be a point where we've been hammered with this collectivism so hard that the tendency is going to want to be to swing back way the other way extremely to the individualistic. And I think like we've got to kind of be there as a buffer to be like, hey, yes, you need to on an individual level heal because you can't be an effective community member if you're broken. But
yeah,
you've got to make sure that you're putting a mind to community when you've, you know, kind of put yourself together a little bit, because I really do feel like everybody's been assaulted heavily over the last couple of years. I don't know a lot of people that came through this unscathed. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, at least like, in one way or another.
Yeah, I mean, there's people that saw what was coming and like got the hell out of wherever they were and have been grinding ever since and like used that as a catalyst. They're few and far between. But those are the people that are going to be effective community leaders in a couple of years, like when it's really, really crazy and there's no valuation to the dollar. And we've got, you know, 140% inflation or some ridiculous crap they're predicting right now. It's spooky.
Yeah, that's what's making me think there's going to be a cyber attack and everything's just going to crash and we're just be in mayhem. But like you were saying, the pendulum swinging. What's happening right now is like a hundredth of what was happening in Britain when our forefathers, if you want to believe history, I'm just going off mainstream history. If you want to believe history, 250 years later, look where we are. We're right back in the same fucking spot. And who knows how it got that way? I've only been alive for 35 years, so I'm trying to work with what I got here. But I'm sure Jen has thoughts on that. And with the ascension you were talking about, it's I think it's on an individual level, and it's not something where we can just rise up with guns, or it's not going to work. Like Biden said, you need F-16s and, you know, missiles to come at me, basically is what he said. So
you shouldn't care about your individual body, and that's really hard for us. And it sounds kind of like weird for this episode, so I won't go too far into it, but we are built to care so much about our individual bodies that we're individual instead of thinking of ourselves as part of something else, a greater collective that we might be all a part of. And so when we start individualizing ourselves like that by everything the media teaches us, like be unique, be yourself, do this. I'm not saying don't do that. That's fine too. But you don't have to be so different from everybody. They also show us our differences and make us hate them or love them for whatever, you know, they make us choose a side, basically. There's the polarity. So by just saying, no, I don't care, and not necessarily fighting back, but just saying, I actually don't care how you feel about that. If you want to shoot me in the face, you can do that. And just not even rising up and just choosing, that's like the higher road to me, is just saying, don't care. Because my life, I believe we have a different life after this. So the ultimate insult, remember when you were a kid and you were just like, hey, fuck you, blah, blah, blah. And you know, you want someone to get super mad about it and fight back. But if they were just like, whatever, loser, bye. And you can punch them and they still get up and walk away.
Fuck off.
That would drive me nuts as a kid, you know? And that's the mentality that these people have. They want us to be pissed. They want us to be upset. They want us to be sad and angry. And just no matter what they do, if you're just like, peace. I think that's the ultimate kick in the balls.
Then you're not letting them feed off you metaphorically and very possibly kind of physically, if you want to go in the loose angle. But
you just have to have no fear, though. That's, and that's very hard. I have a ton of fear. Don't get me wrong. I'm not perfect. I'm not like, oh, yeah, I'd let someone shoot me in the face. I would be scared, but I would like to not be. And I know that would be the best move.
Well, that's kind of what drives people to create a parallel structure. That's what drives people to create a parallel economy or a counter economy. It is going, not only do I not care, I have a solution that doesn't even involve you.
They hate that. I fucking hate
that. We figured it out without you. And then you go and do that thing. And yeah, no, I'm with you 100%. I am. Yeah.
Yeah. And they fucking hate that. If you have a solution outside their system, that's probably the biggest threat to them, because they can go nuke you. But I mean, if everybody were to do that, which I know is impossible, maybe not impossible, but very unlikely. If every single person were to do that and learn how to get out of the system that we're in and not participate in it, there would be no system there anymore. And I've said it before, all we have to do is stop paying our taxes, but it has to be all of us. And good luck getting everybody on board with that. Stop paying any taxes altogether. What are they going to do? Arrest 320 million people?
You have to shut down
people?
The media first. All media would have to be yeah. done. TV, no, nothing there, except for word of mouth.
There's a handful of things that I've been advocating for 20 freaking years now, and that is surrounding polling stations and shutting them down on election day and not allowing anyone to vote at all, you know, ever. Just no, you don't get to do no. If they're not going to hold a free and fair process, we're not going to let you vote. Yeah. So if we
you get labeled a QAnon conspiracy theorist because the elections were 100% fair and not rigged at all.
we have always had publicly funded, privately owned elections. Always in the era of electronic voting machines where there's proprietary software involved that you can't even sue to see the source code for. Are you kidding me? No, I'm not. Venezuela arguably has freer and fairer elections. The house that I'm in right now, my buddy, he's an election integrity activist. He went to Nicaragua and Honduras, and he's been a bunch of play all over the world, like as an election observer and a reporter. And he's like, yo, dude, we're fucked. You know, this is bad.
The proprietary code, are you kidding me? The average person knows nothing about source code on software or any kind of computer language, and we're just supposed to believe that these experts have the best intentions in mind. Their software is 100% legitimate. Don't worry about it. Go back to sleep.
By the way, your vote doesn't even count as a whole vote, because there's this thing called fractionalized voting where they break down individual votes into parts of votes and parts of numbers in order, like, and it. No, dude, thumbprint. I voted. Like, that's how there's two people that watch you. They put it in a box, and then there's like eight people that watch those people carry that box to an armored car that gets fucking observed by another 300 people. That, like, if they can figure that out in a place that has, you know, crippling sanctions from a number of different countries and a drug problem, then maybe we could. I don't know.
Maybe.
I mean, everybody has to show ID. You don't.
Yeah.
You don't. You know.
Racist. That's racist.
Right. I think it's the illusion of choice, though. I think it's just all like a little show where they're just like, oh, look how secure we are.
Yeah, it's the same as everything else.
ID, and then
theater.
We've always voted third party just to try to throw off the system, but I'm not even going to fucking vote next time. I'm not voting at all ever again, except for locally for people that I know, because it's ridiculous.
I didn't even vote third party or whatever to try to fuck up the system. Ever since I was 18, when I first started voting, I was arguing with my brother, not Ben, my older brother, but I'm like, dude, voting doesn't fucking matter. Do you not see this? Like, they're both part of the same team. And I've been going off on him as a baked fucking 18-year-old. And he's like, okay, whatever, hippie. You just got to make sure you vote because it's all we can do. Fast forward about 15 years, and he's like, yeah, voting doesn't fucking matter. I'm like, thank you. I told you.
I don't know, man. I don't even know if the ballot measures matter. I know that if you want your local vote to count, you better be voting in a town that has less than 1,000 people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But I mean, really, that's kind of what it comes down to. I don't allow candidates on my show anymore. Like, I did that for a year. It was like, oh God, never again. You know, if I want to sell something or if somebody wants to come on and sell something, that's cool. I just not candidates, you know. But I will go cover the Libertarian convention this year, just because it's gonna be Vegas.
Oh, nice.
Over like Memorial Day or something. Oh,
party,
like
that. Son,
because it's gonna be crazy. You know, like, it is. They're running a fucking comedian. They're nominating 1/3 of the Legion of Skanks for president.
Oh my, like, God, that's hilarious.
Why would you not pull up for that? You know what I mean? That's fucking... It sounds like a party, dude. It really does.
It's like an Idiocracy party. But hilarious.
Like, they're gonna have Michael Malice introduce himself as like future press secretary. They're going to bring, you know, like that. I mean, this is all the fucking, yeah, this is the world we live in. Is why I tell people we live in a fucking cartoon, because
that's some cartoon shit, real.
They're gonna have a Make America One Party for Real thing with the Republicans and Democrats in 2024. That's my prediction. You can tell because Tulsi Gabbard's speaking at CPAC this weekend. They're going to bring her over from the Democrats. She's going to run with the Republican. Biden's going to try and get rid of Harris, and run with like a Liz Cheney or an Adam Kinzinger or whatever his name is from Illinois. It's just some like milquetoast center-right person. And they're going to formulate this Make America One Party for Real, because you were talking about the 250-year timeline. I've always referred to this experiment as the relocation of the Roman Empire. And every 300 or so years, the empire runs out of steam and they've got to relocate it. It hasn't been that it ever really collapsed. There's a reason the Nazis are throwing Roman salutes. Yeah, the fucking, when it moved from the UK to the US, it was only a long enough time, you know, given a long enough timeline. Every empire is going to collapse under the weight of its own expansion. And everything that an empire does to people abroad, it always comes back and does to its own people. There's only so much of that you can do. Every time you see people getting hemmed up by the cops and they're using IDF tactics, every time you see people get shaken down, you know, the way that people were getting tackled just last year at the Capitol, like it's fucking Fallujah, because those are PTSD as fuck combat vets that are tackling their fellow countrymen because somebody told them to, you know. Yeah. Like, you can't, that's not sustainable.
Fat cats get too fat and then they just topple over. So you mentioned Roman times. Right before we get out of here, what do you think of the whole manipulated timeline or alternative history not mention in specific things, but Tartaria, mud flood, that kind of stuff.
What do you think about that? I'm about 85% there, because there's so much that you can't really explain, you know, I'm a builder. I'm a carpenter. I know how getting and acquiring materials can be now with modern technology.
Supply line. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know how long it takes to build stuff. And I know how many people you would have to throw at it without power tools. It just doesn't line up. The architecture and the timelines don't line up with the technology and the amount of skilled people that it would take to produce it. So it's something. It's not what we're told. What evidence we have about Tartaria, I mean, it's not chasing me away from it. You know what I mean? It's so limited in scope, and it's so confined to a very specific area of the internet. But there's, I mean, endless questions, and my God, it's fascinating.
Yeah. I couldn't
have said it better. That's kind of where we are too. Yeah. We're not like full on board. It was definitely a thing. Right. We're just always questioning things. So we just wanted to get your opinion on it, because we talk about it with people, and we've talked with people who are convinced one way and convinced the other way, but we're just right in the middle with you.
There's just more questions than answers.
Yeah. I mean, it's endless carpenter porn. If you're into sacred geometry and shit like that, dude, it's really cool. There's all kinds of like angelic math that goes into it and stuff like
cinematic
that.
And stuff.
Yeah. But just for that, it's fascinating. If you wanted to try, you know, like you did, for anybody who wanted to try to recreate something like that in their own personal garden space, especially with like cymatic waterfalls and stuff like that, that would be awesome, you know.
But hell yeah,
I don't have that kind of time right now.
I think one of the most interesting things is looking at how all this architecture is kind of resembles itself all over the world, like that Roman. You know, like the capital, it's a giant boob that everybody knows that. Mm-hmm. It looks kind of like that in Russia, but it's the Kremlin, you know, is more of a like mushroomy type of shape. And not to mention all the pyramids that are found everywhere. How the fuck are people building pyramids at we don't really know what time, but like the ancient Egyptians, and you've got the Mayans and everything, and they're all building these fucking pyramids. Like they knew something that we don't know. And it's even funnier because maybe that was Atlantis, you know, a worldwide civilization. Kind of like we have now, where all of our architecture looks the fucking same all over the place. Big, rectangular pieces of shit. Like, all of it looks the same now. And none of that's going to be around in 10,000 years anyway, but...
No, the giant stone dicks might, though.
The obelisk.
You get some life out of an obelisk, yeah. Yeah, a little staying power. Yeah.
They haven't done the Obama... Obama obelisk yet. It'd be, you know, the big black one right next to the George Washington one.
The Obamalisk, yeah.
Obamalisk.
I have to go back to DC in April, and every time I do it, I'm like, oh, it's the giant satanic obelisk. Neat. Again, there's so much concentrated evil in Washington, D.C. that I smoke more cannabis than I regularly do just to kind of balance out the energy a little bit. And I don't like it. I really don't. Dude, I can't understand how people live in D.C. Like, it's a Masonic ritual set on top of a swamp.
So weird. The first time I noticed that was the pentagram of the streets. I'm like, there's no way that was on accident. You don't just make streets like that. This is ridiculous. I've never been to DC, and I don't think I ever want to. It seems like the belly of the beast to me. So I'm good.
Dude, it's wild. It really is. Like, I mean, you really can feel it. There aren't a lot of places that I would describe as instantly oppressive on an energetic level. You know, but like you get like East Stockton, you know, part to Los Angeles, sure. But I mean, just even flying into it, you're like, oh.
Ooh,
right.
Oh,
because it is. It's just, you know, the quasi or actual Tartarian monuments to fucking now occupied by sociopathic pedophiles. And it's like, I gotta
wonder
go
why
hang
DC
out there?
Has such a high crime rate.
How weird.
But we're crazy to say it has anything to do with the negative energy there. That makes it sounds like right. sound like kooks. Yeah, go rub your crystals, you fucking hippies. Whatever.
Did you ever read Good Omens? Neil
Gaiman. No, I
Gaiman.
Saw the show though.
Okay, the book. The book is a million times better, and they did a fantastic job with the show. And I love David Tennant. I do.
Yes, I do too.
And hopefully I don't hear anything bad about him that I will have to casually ignore because I enjoy the guy as an actor. But there's a passage in it about how the British freeway system was designed as a negative energy harvesting machine. So that like it would suck energy. And it was like a constant flow of evil to hell. From like the minor sins of road rage and swearing at people, all this kind of stuff, but it was a constant supply, like a direct pipeline, and it was the very specific way that the freeway was laid out was essentially like a summoning portal. And yeah, it harvested.
Well, it's funny because they show you this shit. I say they loosely, you know, whatever. But you see this stuff in movie or books or whatever,
yeah.
And I've said this a million times. That's what drives me nuts is because you see it and you're like, I can totally see that being true. And then people are like, you're dumb. That was a movie or that was a book. It's fiction. And you're like, no, I don't think so.
It's just like,
go to DC.
Guide to the Galaxy is similar.
Well, the thing, the high freeway system in Shanghai is an actual vortex.
Oh, like around in circles? Like,
yeah, it's circles that get increasingly smaller as you exit off. It's a literal vortex.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have to look that up.
It's wild, dude.
They keep us in our cars, in our heads, focused on going to work, making money, paying the bills,
listening to the radio,
taking care of your family. They don't want us to look outside and see that vortex. They want us to just be driving around in it, doing our thing every single day.
I just spent 5 fucking hours, almost all of it, on the 99 today.
99 sucks. For anybody who's in California, you know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
Well, dude, we'll let you go. Then you need some sleep, I believe. You
hit Bakersfield, and you're like, I still have another 120 miles.
Bakersfield sucks, too. No offense to anybody who's there.
Shout out to Roy. I don't know.
Well, thanks for coming on, dude. We appreciate it. Much love. And don't listen to the radio, people. Go listen to Slow News Day. And if you're really bored and you're having a really awesome day already, listen to our show. Because I don't even know what to say about that. But thanks, Ben, for coming on. Thank you, Steve. Woo!
Hell yeah.
All right, man. Have a good night.